This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Wazin. I am Layla Mudin. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist in private practice, and I practice with Dr. Ronald Hoffman on a weekly basis here in New York, in Midtown to be exact. Great neighborhood. 635 Madison Avenue between 59th and 60th Street. If you'd like to make an appointment with me, 212-779-1744. Speak to Grimaldi. She'll set you up. Also call that number if you want to become a patient of Dr. Hoffman's. Same number, 212-779-1744. To be his patient, you need to travel in to see him because he needs to look at you, get his hands on you via physical examination. With me, if you just want a nutrition consultation, you don't have to travel in to see me if you're far away or even if you're nearby. I have phone consultations with clients all over the country. You can make a telephone appointment with me. If you'd like to email me, send me questions, topics of interest, to hear me discuss any of that on this podcast, radio program at AOL.com. That's radio program at AOL.com. Today, I want to bring you something from the Natural Medicine Journal, which is wonderful. There's wonderful research there. And I want to talk to you about minerals, the importance of minerals, and key challenges with mineral supplementation. Now, you know the macro minerals, right? Macro minerals, your calcium, your magnesium, potassium, phosphorus, sodium, chloride. These macro minerals are present in large amounts in the body. These are macro minerals, the ones I just mentioned. Trace minerals are the following: boron, iron, copper, zinc, manganese, fluoride. And these trace minerals are present in small amounts. The next classification of minerals are the ultra trace minerals. And these ultra trace minerals are consumed in less than 1 milligram a day. But all of these are equally essential to physiologic function. The ultra trace minerals are selenium, chromium, iodine, molybdenum, vanadium. So minerals affect nearly all physiologic functions in the human body. We know this. They are necessary cofactors for hundreds of biochemical reactions, as well as essential for bone strength, muscle contraction, immune function, nerve conduction, energy production, and oxygen transport, to name only a few. Mineral status influences metabolic health, cardiovascular health, prostate health, reproductive health, cognition, and more. And although The human body tightly regulates the availability of minerals and has mechanisms to store them for later use. Minerals cannot be endogenously produced. These minerals cannot be created by the body. So to fulfill the ongoing requirements of the body, people must regularly consume the essential minerals from exogenous sources, meaning from dietary sources or dietary supplements. And again, the macro minerals are calcium, magnesium, chloride, potassium, sodium, phosphorus. Some of these you also recognize as electrolytes, which are potassium, magnesium, sodium, and calcium. The trace minerals, manganese, fluoride, zinc, copper, iron, boron. The ultra trace minerals are iodine, molybdenum, chromium, vanadium, selenium. All right? People have long relied on water and foods to fulfill their need for minerals, but modern agricultural practices and food processing compromise the mineral content of the food supply. We know that in modern agricultural practices that selenium is greatly diminished, as an example. So, as industrial farming techniques have shifted toward a reliance on monoculture, pesticides, herbicides, and synthetic fertilizers, the nutrient density of our soil and foods have declined. The refining of grains diminishes the mineral density of foods even more. The milling of whole wheat flour into that white stuff, called white flour, for example, leads to a 90% loss of manganese, an 80% loss of zinc, and an 80% loss of magnesium. Think about that. Your white pasta, your white bread. 90% of the manganese is gone, 85% of your zinc is gone, and 80% of your magnesium is gone. That's why we're seeing people particularly low in magnesium and sometimes in zinc. Minerals become depleted further in the body by chronic stress, overexercise, and the excessive consumption of caffeine, sugar, and alcohol. These three burn through minerals. Iron is the most common mineral deficiency worldwide. And even in the U.S., it affects approximately 12% of women of childbearing age. Half of all Americans and two-thirds of teenagers have inadequate magnesium intake, and approximately 17% of people worldwide have inadequate zinc intake. Insufficiencies in these minerals can contribute to anemia, infertility, mood disorders, and more. You know, that is very telling. This informs us of why we're seeing more infertility, we're seeing more mood disorders. Could be insufficiencies of these very, very important minerals. Supplementation is sometimes the best or the only way to correct these mineral deficiencies and to achieve optimal levels, physiologic levels. And choosing the best supplement, however, can be complicated. And this research that I'm bringing you from Natural Medicine, this research raises three key challenges posed by mineral supplementation and discusses how chelated minerals can offer promise in overcoming these challenges. They also highlight four chelated minerals and their roles in health and disease. So let's get into it. Three challenges with mineral supplementation. The only mineral forms available for dietary supplements until recent times were mineral salts, such as mineral sulfides, carbonates, and oxides. Like, you've heard of calcium carbonate, you've heard of magnesium oxide, right? Those. Minerals are now available as salts, ionic minerals, colloidal minerals, food-based minerals, and chelated minerals. They're delivered as capsules, tablets, powders, liquids, and functional foods. They're formulated alone, they're formulated in combination, or with synergistic compounds that are said to improve their deliverability. What good is this? This is the formula, right? If it's not very bioavailable in the body. This is important. And this is important for us to address as practitioners. There's good reason for so many new forms and formulations of minerals on the market. Manufacturers are trying to overcome three key challenges posed by traditional mineral supplementation. One is poor tolerability. Two is poor bioavailability. And three is chemical reactivity. Interesting. So let's get into tolerability. Tolerability refers to the ability of the body to handle a therapeutic dosage of a drug or a supplement without side effects. Iron sulfate, prescribed to treat iron deficiency anemia, provides a classic example of the poor tolerability of mineral salt supplements. Side effects include constipation, diarrhea, stomach cramps, other digestive discomforts. I've heard this all throughout my career with certain iron formulations that are very, very poorly tolerated. A recent meta-analysis found that oral iron sulfate is more than twice as likely than placebo to cause side effects. Other minerals also cause gastrointestinal distress. Mineral salts dissociate in the acidic contents of the stomach, and the mineral ions can irritate the gastrointestinal lining. Calcium carbonate is known to cause constipation. Magnesium oxide can cause diarrhea. And zinc citrate can cause nausea when taken without food. That's why you want to take all of your mineral supplementations with food. Most minerals taste bad, and some even leave a metallic taste in the mouth. Let's move on to number two. The second challenge is bioavailability. Bioavailability refers to the amount of the nutrient that is absorbed and available for physiologic function. Part of what determines bioavailability is the absorption rate. And the mechanisms of mineral absorption are complex. Not only are different minerals absorbed via different transport mechanisms, but the same mineral can be absorbed via different mechanisms under different circumstances. And in some instances, minerals compete for the same transport mechanism and can inhibit absorption of each other. So, mineral bioavailability is complicated even more by age, sex, nutrient status, gastrointestinal health, and overall health. The absorption rate of iron, for example, ranges from less than 1% to more than 20% in different individuals and is higher in women than in men because of a greater physiologic demand. Mineral absorption is also influenced by the presence of interacting compounds in foods or supplements, compounds that act as inhibitors, competitors, or enhancers of bioavailability. Let me tell you about some of the inhibitors. Some inhibitors are phytic acid. What is phytic acid in beans, legumes, grains, and nuts? Inhibitors. Polyphenols. Polyphenols are good for us in tea, coffee, and wine, but they can inhibit, right? Oxalates. Oxalates are found in spinach and rhubarb, to name a few. And fiber, found in plant foods. These can inhibit the absorption of minerals. Phytic acid, polyphenols, oxalates, and fiber bind with charged mineral ions in the intestinal tract to reduce absorption. Very, very interesting. So, let's talk about some competitors of minerals. Calcium and iron are competitors. Several minerals compete with each other for absorption and transport across intestinal cells. A supplement containing a high quantity of calcium, for example, could compete with the absorption of iron. Calcium and iron compete. Calcium and zinc compete. Zinc and copper compete. Now, what are the enhancers of minerals? Vitamin E, vitamin C can help enhance iron absorption, and vitamin D can enhance calcium absorption. I've often said that vitamin D is the bus that delivers calcium to the bones. So the presence of vitamin C enhances intestinal absorption of iron, and the presence of vitamin D improves absorption of calcium. So we talked about two of the three challenges. We talked about tolerability. We talked about bioavailability. And within bioavailability, we talked about the inhibitors, the competitors, and the enhancers of mineral absorption and their bioavailability. Let's talk about chemical reactivity, the third challenge. Chemical reactivity refers to the likelihood that an element or molecule will react with other elements or molecules. Mineral salts readily dissociate into charged particles which can react with other compounds. In a multivitamin and mineral supplement or fortified food, mineral salts can ionize and react with vitamins, rendering the vitamins degraded and useless. Wow. In the gastrointestinal tract, mineral salts can ionize and become bound by food compounds, leaving a lesser quantity of mineral available for absorption. So this is complicated, isn't it? A study published in the year 2000 in the Journal of Food Composition and Analysis evaluated vitamin degradation over time in a multivitamin and mineral supplement. In the formula that included mineral salts as mineral sulfates, the percentage of vitamin C lost over 6 months was 40% when stored at 20 degrees Celsius. In the formula that included mineral amino acid chelates, the percentage of vitamin C lost over the same time period was less than 10%. So studies like this demonstrate that some mineral complexes are more or less are more or less reactive than others. So remember that fiber, phytates, oxalates in plant foods can diminish mineral bioavailability in the gastrointestinal tract. That's why I tell my patients who have iron deficiency anemia that the amount of iron in spinach, in peas, and lentils are very poorly absorbed because of the phytates in those foods bind to iron. And they also bind to calcium and magnesium in those foods. So you may be getting 10% of that. That's why when you have iron deficiency anemia, you need high heme iron sources of food. That includes red meat, dark meat poultry, egg yolks, organ meats, those kind of foods, because those foods don't contain the oxalates or the phytates or the fiber that will bind up those very precious minerals for your body. There is no fiber in meat, right? Meat has a place in the diet. I want to continue this in a part two next week, so stay tuned for part two on minerals, a primer on minerals, the three key challenges, and certain formulations that may be more beneficial than others in the proper physiologic absorption and optimal balance of these very key minerals, trace minerals, and ultra trace minerals. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.